decision, and we'll turn to the second case on our calendar, Dark Storm Industries, 20-2725.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. James Maloney for the Plaintiff's Appellants. Can you all hear me very well?
Yes, indeed.
Very good, thank you. Well, I think the panel wants to hear mostly about the mootness issue. There was a request for additional briefing, and I saw just the other day a 28J letter that essentially seems like a surreply. I'd like to save most of my talk about that for my rebuttal, because I'll get a chance to hear from opposing counsel before that. But I think the main point that was raised there was that the executive order has expired. But I guess my answer to that would be, well,
I thought their point was broader than that. It was that the statute authorizing the executive order had expired.
You're right, Judge Cabranes. Judge Cabranes, you're right. But I guess it still is moot.
Yes, Newman.
But it's all right. I take no offense.
Newman. I asked it, and as I said once before, I'm Newman, he's Cabranes. I'm flattered he might not be.
Well, you know, the problem is my screen, I have to look up as opposed to look at the camera. So I hear a voice, and I think I know whose voice it is.
In any event, argument relates to the expiration of the statute.
Yes. Okay. So the statute expires. So the legislature can, you know, redo it if the time comes. The question really about mootness is whether there's a reasonable prospect that these measures could recur.
And what makes it reasonable?
The fact that we're in a new element here. This has never happened in the history of the human race. The Spanish flu is not even comparable. We have something going on here that has, you know, gone around the globe, morphed into various forms, and we're battling it now for a good, you know, coming up on 2 years. It's COVID-19. It began its appearance in late 2019. It's morphed in form. The likelihood that other measures will have to be taken that may go back to what we've seen before is at least reasonable, if not even high.
Well, even if something should happen in the future that prompts the New York legislature to do something, why should we assume that what they'll do is exactly what they did a year ago? I mean, you've got a new governor for one thing. They may, if they do give a governor power, they may give the governor entirely different power than they gave the last governor. Why should we assume it'll be the same statute?
I don't think you need to assume that it's the same. I think you need to assume that the questions raised about the power of the executive, and in New York, also the power of this Empire State Development Corporation that has been given that executive power by delegation, I think those issues will recur again.
Why would we, if we were to look at whether the delegation is proper, which sounds to me like it's sort of a state law question, in any event, why would we have to see what the new statute you apprehend says rather than assume it'll pose the exact same questions you're raising now?
Because to address this question, we'll address that question. And here, of course, I go out on a limb a little bit by saying that sounds like an advisory opinion.
Yeah, we need something to chew on. We need an executive order that you think impairs your client's Second Amendment rights. But right now we're guessing. Why would we do that? I once served in the state legislature. I wouldn't take too kindly to being told some federal judge's decision about what the Second Amendment does or doesn't say when I haven't done a darn thing. Why would, what kind of state-federal relationship is that?
And I guess it's also a separation of powers question, too.
Yeah, there is separation
indeed,
of powers.
Indeed, why does it serve your purpose? If we were to say, oh, yes, counsel is right, we can predict what the statute would say, and we can predict what executive order would issue under a new statute, and then we were to reject you on the merits and say it's okay, you would have suffered an adverse Second Amendment ruling that might turn out to be totally hypothetical. Why do you want that?
I'll tell you exactly why I don't want that, Judge Newman, and I got your name right this time, didn't I? The reason I would like to see that, and this goes beyond the parameters of this case, is quite simple. We are dealing not only with a very new problem with COVID, we're dealing with a very old problem that has not been addressed in its most essential way for 217 years. The Second Amendment was not interpreted by the Supreme Court as to its most fundamental question until Heller in 2008, 217 years after it was decided.
Yeah, that may be. So it sounds like you're willing to risk an advisory opinion in the hope that the advisory opinion will come out your way, even though it would be nonetheless advisory.
To tell you the truth, I am less concerned personally about which way it comes out than about the idea that jurisprudence of the Second Amendment evolves quickly, because it's necessary if we're going to solve the problem of gun violence in America.
It may evolve the way you say, but it will evolve by courts that have jurisdiction over the dispute, not hypothetical jurisdiction.
Well, that's obviously the big question. And I can only argue so strongly about, the mootness. I see the point that I think all three of you have in mind, which is there is no operative executive order now. On the other hand, the court below found that it still was operative in the sense that it was reasonably likely or there was reasonable prospect for recurrence.
Now, you keep saying order and I keep saying statute.
Well, that's true. Okay. And that begs the question of the element of it that goes to separation of powers at the state level as opposed to just mootness in terms of the order. But I would
say, in any event, just so we understand, your point is we should think there's a reasonable possibility that there will be a new statute which will authorize a new governor to issue the same or very similar executive order, all of which, if issued, would be unconstitutional under the Second Amendment, right?
I hate to be painted in that corner, but I guess I would have to say essentially yes, but my caveat to that would be that these are new circumstances that may make it worthwhile for courts to rethink the doctrine of mootness in terms of the practical applications to law. That's my final comment on that, and I 20 seconds left, but I think I'd like to end on that and hear from my opponent and then get back to some of the perhaps more mundane arguments. So I thank you all, and I will cede my 8 seconds to Mr. Brockner.
Thank you, Mr. Brockner.
May it please the court, Dustin Brockner on behalf of appellees. This appeal is moot. The challenge restriction hasn't existed for nearly 16 months. The state of emergency has expired. And unless, as your honors were discussing, unless a new law is passed, the governor lacks the authority to reimpose that restriction. The mootness exception to mootness doesn't apply for the reasons your honors were discussing, and that is, the defendant here is not free to revert to her old ways. The legislature has repealed the provision that authorized the governor to impose a challenge restriction. So unless the legislature amends the law, the governor cannot do so. And so in addition to this changed legal landscape, which itself renders this case moot, I'd actually like to talk about the change in the public health landscape since March 2020. So, and under that change in the public health landscape, there's no reasonable expectation that the governor would, even if she could, impose a challenge restriction, which today would mean a order that requires all retailers deemed non-essential across the entire state to cease in-person sales, and it does not allow for curbside pickup and applies regardless of vaccination status. Opposing counsel sort of alludes to the Delta variant and how the virus has morphed, but while that the variant may lead to uptick in cases, from a COVID response perspective, they don't bring us back to March 2020. At the time, there was no vaccine, no known treatment, inadequate testing, PPE shortages, and an undeveloped sense of how the virus spread. In short, we didn't know where the virus was spreading, how it was spreading, or what measures would work. And we're in a vastly different world today from a COVID response perspective. We have vaccines. Over 70% of New York adults are fully vaccinated, and it's only a matter of time before children under 12 are eligible. Hospitals are using therapeutics, and they've overcome the PPE shortages. We also have testing that lets us identify where the virus is spreading, and we have a better understanding of how it spreads. So given these developments, the state has significantly refined its COVID response. Indeed, before the state of emergency expired, the governor had used much more targeted measures, both in terms of geographically and in terms of what activities are regulated. And that is why, also since the restriction was lifted in May 2020, The governor has not sought to reimpose anything remotely like the challenge restriction here. Indeed, during last winter's surge, cases reached a record high and fatalities increased and deaths unfortunately increased. But even then, the governor did not propose imposing any new statewide restrictions on retailers, let alone anything that looks like the challenge restriction here. So there's no reasonable prospect that the governor would or even could reimpose the challenge restrictions. This appeal should be dismissed as moot.
All right, Mr. Mahoney, you reserve
some time. Well, technically, when you say dismiss, wouldn't we technically remand with directions for the district court to dismiss the case?
I know, Your Honor, if you look at 36 Apartment Associates, which is another appeal in involving an expired executive order, the court just dismissed the appeal as moot. And I think a proper course would be true as well. Would apply here.
Enough.
Mr. Maloney?
Yes, thank you, Your Honors. I would like the opportunity, if I may, and I guess I address this question to Judge Cabranes as chair of the panel, to submit a very brief, no more than 3 pages, response to some of the COVID issues inherent in what my opponent put in his 28J letter, rather than try to use this 2 minutes to do that. What I'd like to do now is essentially pick up on the thread I left before. We are in new territory here. The law is meant to address problems that society has in a meaningful way. We have a clear test of the limits of the executive, and it's one in which the executive, in this case, very clearly targeted gun sales and gun stores as over against other retail enterprises. Liquor stores were kept open. Liquor stores, there was much more transaction going on, people walking in and out all the time. The governor's last executive order was about the gun crisis in New York. The Second Amendment is about the most politicized constitutional issue I can imagine. And I think that we have to be well aware that it is something that is a problem. And I say it, I mean the tension between the Second Amendment, which is a recognized right, and the horrible, horrible situation we have in America with gun violence. In order to solve that problem, we need an established jurisprudence of the Second Amendment. We need to do everything we can to get that up to the Supreme Court as soon as possible, whatever the composition of the court may be, so that we have some means of reaching consensus. And I say we, I mean the legislatures for the most part, but all three branches play a role. And here you have a very stark situation in which an executive made a decision, again, through what may be a state court question, you know, this executive agency, this corporation, Empire State Development, but made a decision that was really not based on the COVID questions, but based on policymaking. Now, is it moot? That really is, mootness is in the eye of the beholder. Under old doctrines of mootness, I guess I'd concede it has to be moot. But I think that if you want
to be binding, old doctrines of mootness, you mean binding authority?
Well, yeah, binding authority, yeah, you know, but how binding? I mean,
generally that troubles us. We tend to follow what others have decided because that stare decisis is how, you know, how people, that's what the certainty of the rule of law is. So, I mean, we're inclined to follow what our predecessors, in fact, we're required to, absent the court reversing, an opinion to this. So, what allows us to adopt a new law of mootness?
I think there's enough wiggle room in the doctrine, that requires only that there be a reasonable prospect of repetition. I know the prospect seems less
reasonable. And what is that reasonable prospect? Identify it for me as a fact.
Yeah, it's the uncertainty.
Has Governor Hochul said a single thing about, anticipating reclosing the gun stores? Has she made a statement about her views on the Second Amendment? She's from Buffalo. She's not from Queens. She's had views different from her predecessor considerably with regard to like licenses for illegal immigrants, things like that. What sense do you get that she's going to repeat, what Governor Cuomo did?
Well, you know, I might respond to that by pointing out that in a broader...
You might will, I suppose.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
I mean, maybe the question really is not so much whether one governor in one state will do that, but whether, given the likely trajectory of this virus and perhaps other viruses that we're going to see, given the inevitability of this one happening in the first place, might be the question. The question would be really, will an executive do that very thing again and use...
So we should issue an order to advise somebody in West Virginia?
No. You should decide the facts as presented here.
Okay.
As if there is indeed a reasonable prospect of its recurrence, but looking at that from a broader perspective than the usual perspective. The worst case scenario is you get recurrence. You know, it's not the worst case in the world. And the better case scenario is that law gets made that can help us to solve two very big problems we have.
Be careful who you put the pen, into whose hand you put the pen, Mr. Mahoney. Be careful who you put the pen into whose hand, okay?
That I don't want to put too much in the hands of the
That's an awesome power you're talking about, sir. Thank you.
But you're not final, so I'm not that worried about this panel.
Oh, really?
Well, I appreciate your advising us that we might get reversed. That's very comforting.
I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know. I'm just trying to make you think about this, because I know I'm kind of on the losing end of this mootness argument, but I'd like to point out some light at the end of the tunnel if you think about going the other way.
All right.
Understood.
We're not final nor infallible, as the phrase is. Okay.
Right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Maloney, do you really need that time? I'm a very easy presider, so I'm just... You said you wanted 3 pages?
Right. Just a quick letter about COVID and stuff like that.
All right. By Monday, September 27.
Very good. Thank you, Your Honor. And thank you, Judge Newman and Judge West.
And then
thank you.
The state can respond by Friday, October 1. Thank you. So ordered. Absent objection or comment. All right.
Thank you.
All right.